Do you ever feel like you're living someone else's life? A life dictated by societal expectations and a never-ending pursuit of achievement? You're checking off the boxes, hitting the milestones, maybe even outwardly successful, but inside, there's a nagging feeling of emptiness, a sense that you've lost touch with your true self. What if the key to unlocking your true potential isn't about striving for more, but about letting go of the shoulds and embracing the whispers of your own heart? My guest today, Scarlett Stanhope, the biz hippie, experienced this disconnect firsthand. Despite achieving external markers of success, a high GPA, a thriving savings account, a promising career path, she found herself feeling lost, unfulfilled, and trapped in a cycle of achievement-driven autopilot. Scarlett's journey led her to a radical shift, a leap of faith into the world of coaching and personal development, where she discovered the power of combining tangible money management strategies with transformative mindset work. Stay tuned and hear Scarlett's inspiring story and discover how you can break free from the shoulds, own your worth, and create a life of authentic abundance.
Welcome to Making Change with Your Money, a podcast that highlights the stories and strategies of women who experienced a big life transition and overcame challenges as they redefined financial success for themselves. Now here's your host, certified financial planner, Laura Rotter.
Welcome, Scarlett, to the Making Change with Your Money podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Me too. I'm interested to see where this conversation takes us. I will start, as I always do, with the question, Scarlett, what was money like in your family growing up?
That is such a great question and such an important one. Growing up, money in my family was limited and restricted. So growing up, I was raised by a single mom and she raised me and my sister. And so, you know, money wasn't in an overabundant supply. Granted, we did always have food on the table and we always had clothes to wear, which is an amazing benefit. And at the same time, there was never extra available for, you know, those nice things that children want or that the other kids in school have, these fancy shoes or fancy jeans that make you popular, you know, so there wasn't extra for the things like that.
And as you say that, I'm sure, given what you do now, that you've thought about how that impacted you. I mean, were you someone who always had a job from the time you could work? What was the impact on you?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I really set out to make money for myself as soon as I could. My first job was at 13 years old, working in a hair salon, sweeping up hair off the floor. That was my first job. And then when I turned 16 and could legally work and get a paycheck, I started working in the restaurant industry as soon as I could as a hostess and then worked my way up to higher and higher positions. And luckily, my mom did a great job of teaching us about money in small ways. So I opened my first savings account when I was 7 years old and started growing that savings account for years. And that savings account paid for college. It paid for college. It paid for the early investments in my business. So I really started making money from a young age and really wanted to support myself financially.
That is so interesting. So I'm sure you did not walk on your own into the bank. Your mom took you to the bank and helped you open an account.
Yep, exactly.
And this was allowance money that you put into the bank account?
No, I did not get an allowance. It was So the money that would come in would be Christmas. So there would be Christmas family money that would come in, and there would be my mom would help us and say, okay, so this is all the money you got from all your family members. We're gonna take a portion of it for you to spend, and then most of it is going to go in the savings account. So every year for Christmas, I would put money in my savings account for years and years until I got my own job, and then I started putting my own money in the savings account.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that, Scarlett. And I applaud your mother because so many people that I ask the question of you, as you might imagine, say, well, there weren't really any direct messages about money. And it's clear that your mother didn't want you to go through perhaps what she was going through herself. And so wanted to give you the tools to live a different kind of life. And so you said that you put yourself through college. What was your intention when you went to college? Did you have one?
Yeah, so this also ties in a lot to the work that I do now because growing up, I really wanted to be successful and make money. And that was really my primary driving motivator was I'm going to do the thing that seems the most successful. So, when I was in high school, I went to a high school that had balanced like trades with regular classic education. So I spent 4 years in the culinary program and really wanted to be a chef. And that was so much of my passion and my focus. And I applied to culinary schools and I got into the Culinary Institute of America, which is the most prestigious
Yeah.
school, culinary school in the country. And it's so amazing. And a few months before graduating, like 1 or 2 months before graduating high school, I had this mental breakdown and freak out and was like, I don't think I should go to culinary school. I should go to business school instead because culinary school isn't practical and I'm a type A high achiever. I'm great at school. I have great GPA. I get good grades. Like, this isn't really what I should be focusing on. I can do better than this. And so at the last minute, I pulled out of culinary school. I bailed on this passionate career and instead went to school for business management, accounting, and finance.
Wow.
Because, yeah, well, I do enjoy money and finance and spreadsheets, you know, so there's a part of me that is interested in that, but really I was motivated and driven by what's going to be the most successful thing that I can do? And envisioning myself being in a big corporate office building, wearing heels and a blazer, and making lots of money. So that was really one of the biggest driving factors when I went to school.
I'm curious how you got that should in your head. Did you hear it elsewhere? Were you getting advice from teachers? How did that should, that shoulding all over yourself, as we say, how did that should land inside you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I believe there are some specific instances if we look at culinary school of other people in the culinary industry telling me don't spend all this money on school. That school is very expensive. Just go into the field. So there's some specific instances, but really it goes back deeper than that, and I believe that it had just come from the norm of go to school, get good grades so you can go to a good college, go to a good college so that you can get a good paying job and make lots of money. So it was just that underlying, constantly surrounding me all the time, societal expectation that I was supposed to make a lot of money and be successful, and this is how I should do it by pursuing a career in management, accounting, finance, whatever that was, whatever that has to look like in order for me to make a lot of money and rise to the top. And granted, at the same time, I was managing restaurants when I was 18 years old. So I was already stepping into this persona of being a perfectionist business type person already wearing my 4-inch heels and full face of makeup and blazers and, being in charge of 30 employees who were all older than me, So I was already just embodying the idea of I'm going to get the fancy job title as soon as I can. I'm going to make more money than other people my age. I'm going to, get a raise and have responsibilities. And so that was really just deeply ingrained in me from as long as I can remember.
It is so true. I mean, obviously what you're saying is resonating with me. I'm sure it's resonating with our listeners, which is we're the fish in the water that tells us we just imbibe the message that success equals making as much money as you can. And there is certainly an age that perhaps that's appropriate, especially when you can take a certain level of financial security for granted. So then what happened?
Well, I did pursue my bachelor's degree in business management, accounting, and finance, and I did get that bachelor's degree. But at the same time, I found myself spiraling down into a place of unfulfillment. I finally hit a rock bottom moment where I realized that I had been really sacrificing pieces of myself, hiding and repressing parts of myself, and conforming to become somebody purely driven by success and accomplishment. And so as a result, I didn't know who I was, what I wanted, what kind of life I wanted to live. And I was just living on this success-based autopilot. And as a result, I found myself in a harmful, toxic relationship, in a job environment that was adding stress. And I just was lacking fulfillment and meaning in my life, which was causing me to feel really depressed, suicidal, mentally and emotionally unstable, physically sick. I was covered in head-to-toe eczema just because it was so uncomfortable to be in my body and in my life. And so I had to get shaken to wake up and just realize that even though everything looked really great on paper and I was doing really well, I was whatever, a 20-year-old who had paid for college out of pocket, had zero student loans, had $30,000 in a savings account, had an awesome credit score, no credit card debt, had a 3.9 GPA. Like everything looked great on paper, but I just was so empty inside, and life was so meaningless. And so I swung from what I call my business side over to full hippie mode. And that's when I basically said, screw everything else. I'm going to become a life coach and start my life coaching business and get into yoga and get my yoga teacher training and travel the world and attend retreats and just purely focus on personal growth and development, rediscover myself and live the kind of life that I want to live. And I dove head on into this hippie, free, fulfilling persona and began to rediscover myself, who I am, and the kind of life that I want to live, and began pursuing that at all costs, even though it was against the grain of everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing up until that point.
So let me stop you there for a minute. So Scarlett, you said 20. Had you graduated and you were already working in the corporate world when this life change took place? You were about how old were you?
Yeah, so I started my life coaching business 1 month after getting my bachelor's degree.
Oh.
So it the change was immediate. There was, and also I got my bachelor's degree in 2020. So there was a big life pause that really contributed to me getting to make this choice because otherwise it would have been really easy to get sucked into, okay, so now go become a CPA or get a corporate job right away. But because the whole world was on hold, I didn't feel that pressure to go out and get a job right away and was really given the opportunity to reset and focus on, so what do I really want?
And We started off this conversation with you sharing that you had a deep sense of money, that you had started saving at age 7. So, could you share how you made perhaps the financial decision to try something different?
Well, part of it was a total leap of faith and not knowing how it was going to work out at all.
So
The
you did
other,
say you had savings. Sorry to interrupt you.
yes, exactly. That was the other piece, was I did have my savings, which was very interesting because growing up, as I was saving money, so many people asked me, they said, "Well, what are you saving for?" And I was like, "I have no idea. I was just told that I was supposed to save money, so that's what I'm doing. And look at what a good job I'm doing of it." So that money did pay for college, and then after college, it paid for the first year of my business. And so I had that cushion available that I had saved up to pour money into investing in myself and learning how to grow my business. So that did enable me to take that time to focus purely on my business for that first year without having to worry that much about having additional income flowing in.
So, Scarlett, how did you decide specifically on coaching? You shared that you were, a restaurant manager and some other roles you had taken on. Why coaching?
Yeah, it was relatively random. In some ways it was random, in some ways it was not at all. So my mom, who encouraged me to save from a young age, she also has a background in coaching, and it's one of the skills that she has developed and is turned into part of her career path. She does more executive coaching. And so after I graduated college, she said to me that you should get your life coaching certification just because it's a good skill to have. She was
Just
like,
have to stop you for a
yeah.
second, just because that is so resonating. I come from a family of lawyers. My father, who then swore he never said it, was like, just go to law school. You don't have to practice as a lawyer. It's a good skill to have. And my husband, who comes from a family of doctors, was told the same thing. You don't have to
Right.
practice medicine. It's just like it's a good degree, it gets respect. So that's so funny.
Exactly right. It was just a good skill to have. And granted, life coaching skill sets, it is a good skill to have. And
Yes.
so I did a intensive training. It was 2 weeks of 9 to 5 back-to-back training of getting my first certification through the World Coach Institute. I had no intention of becoming a life coach and starting a life coaching business at all. But then by the end of it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm gonna do. Obviously, this is the next step. I wasn't even considering that this was gonna be its own business, but then it just was right in front of me and became the obvious next step. So then I just went head on into it and kept going from there.
Scarlett, what spoke to you about it? And specifically, if you could think about the traits that you already possessed that had you feeling like this was the path for you to take.
Yeah, yes. Well, there's two components. One is I was definitely meant to be an entrepreneur. From a young age, entrepreneurship has always been a part of me and my life. So, if we imagine little kids putting on plays and productions for their families for fun, what I did was put on commercials for fun for my family. So I would do that. And then also very young at 4 and 5 years old, I distinctly remember waking up at 4 a.m. and watching infomercials, hour-long infomercials, simply to analyze their marketing and see how are these infomercials selling me these products and how are they setting it up and how are they formatting? And so I just loved analyzing marketing. Right. So marketing and sales has always been a big part of me. I've just always had an entrepreneurial mindset, and it's something I'm really passionate about. I really do enjoy business and the idea of creating something. And then on the coaching perspective, helping people, serving them to support them in creating and living their best lives is something that I hold very near and dear to my heart. It's something that I'm very passionate about because otherwise I feel like life has no meaning if you're walking around living your life on autopilot, like I was, feeling unfulfilled, feeling like you have no control, feeling like you're trapped, feeling like you can't do anything about it, which is everything that I felt. I really want to spread the message that you have so much more power and control over your life than you think, that you get to create the kind of life that you want to live, that you have that power, that you have that opportunity, and that it's important for you to live your most fulfilling life because not only does that change your life, it actually changes the world. So another big part of it is that I want to support people in living the kind of life that I get to live now, since going through my own challenging journey and then discovering that I had so much power and that I got to be the creator of my reality.
I so love that. And it really echoes the journey that I took, that I left Wall Street a little over a decade ago because I no longer felt alive. And it took me about a decade to leave. I did not do it as young as you did. Though I will say that I really love my career at the beginning, but by the end, I hated it, but I was trapped by the life I had created for myself. And it took yoga and meditation. I did teacher trainings in both to realize that I was choosing to be a victim. And once, like you said, Scarlett, you wake up and say, oh, I can make different choices. It's so empowering. And that led me to start my financial planning firm to help other women who and men who feel trapped by their lives, but don't have a sense of how can they move forward with all the obligations they've created for themselves. And it really does feel like a life mission. So please share, you're in the middle of the pandemic, you're home. How did you then move forward and start this business?
Yeah, so I started exploring everything and saying yes to every single thing that lit me up and that I could get my hands on. So like I mentioned, I did my yoga teacher training. I got Reiki certified. I started traveling and attending retreats. That was a big part of it. Now at this point, I've attended over 10 retreats all over the country and all over the world, just being in beautiful places, connecting with other women, tapping into my own deep personal growth and development. So saying yes to everything, meeting so many people, getting additional coaching certifications, working with other business coaches, learning more. And so over the past 4 years, I've just continued to pursue this work and pursue my business. And after the first year in business, during that whole first year, I was primarily focused on internal work, personal development, changing your relationship with yourself. And then I was speaking with a friend who I had met from a retreat who was also a life coach. And she told me that she was feeling super stressed about money and that money was really holding her back in so many ways. And I realized that I had a lot of skills to help her. And so that's when my current program, Empowered Abundance, was born. And I helped her transform her relationship with money and then committed wholeheartedly to doing this work and growing this program to serve people in the area of their money. So for the past 3 years, I've just been growing the program, working with clients all over the world to really do this work so that they can live their best lives. And it's just been repeated commitment over and over again, continuous learning and continuous growing.
So please share a little bit more about that program, Empowered Abundance. Who do you do your best work with, and what is the structure of the program?
Absolutely. So Empowered Abundance is primarily for coaches, entrepreneurs, and healers who are ready to take their relationship with money to the next level so that they can step into the next most abundant versions of themselves and the next most abundant versions of their lives. And so what this work looks like is a 6-month deep dive into transforming your relationship with money. And the program has two components. There's what I call the internal or intangible aspect, and then the tangible aspect. So, the whole first part of the program, we're diving into the stories of your relationship with money, what your parents taught you, the deeply ingrained beliefs about money and your relationship with money, the different parts of yourselves and how they are showing up subconsciously and impacting the decisions that you're making about your life, and any other ways in which scarcity has been ruling and dictating the actions that you're making for your life. So we go deep into all of that, clear out all of the blocks of scarcity, and then we infuse a new mindset and a new identity rooted in abundance. So that is all of the intangible work, getting really clear on the vision, the kind of life that you want to live, and stepping into your most abundant self to make that vision happen. And then, in addition to that, we do the tangible work of money, which is building a financial blueprint, getting your money on paper, seeing clearly what is coming in and what is going out, and being really strategic and intentional with how you're using your money and aligning this with the vision of the life you want to live and aligning it with your most abundant self. So when we bring these two components together, the intangible and the tangible, you're able to make your vision a reality using the power of your money.
Very, very well said. As someone who runs a financial planning practice, I do very similar work. My first meeting, once someone becomes a client, is all about money stories and the messages received from parents, as well as really understanding the choices that they believe they're making because they need to. So, in other words, if some of the barriers in your life were taken away, how would the choices you're making and how you live every day change? And I think that's really helpful for people to start to recognize because most of us don't even know the choices that we're making because of messages we grew up with. I'm curious, Scarlett, you talked about, your embodied practices, right? You took a yoga teacher training, Reiki. What role does embodied practice play, if at all, in the intangible work you're doing? Because it's one thing I've experienced for people to answer me and even perhaps see their answers sent back to them on paper, and another thing to actually make the changes. Necessary.
Yeah. Well, one of the best way to answer that is I love to bring in a variety of coaching techniques and coaching styles into this work with my clients. And so one piece is simply acknowledging these stories, but then it's another thing to actually go in and clear the energy and have a new perspective and rewrite the stories. So a lot of the work that I do for myself and also with my clients is not only talking about your relationship with money, but literally rewriting the stories. And there's specific story work practices that I love to use that are a game changer. So in lifted style story work is one of my certifications that I bring into the program. Another technique that I love to use is voice dialogue, which is allowing the different parts of you, subconscious parts, to speak and have a voice, and recognizing how we are already currently keeping ourselves stuck in patterns rooted in safety and uncovering these patterns, uncovering these selves, learning to embody and embrace them so that we can release ourselves from these patterns that we've been stuck in and begin to make new choices about our lives. And then a third practice that I love to use with my clients is Existential Kink, which is an amazing book I highly recommend reading. And it has the perspective that we are the ones creating our life circumstances because there's some subconscious part of us that actually likes it that way. And when you uncover that part and you clear out the energy of that part, then you're able to release this pattern that you've been in and step into the next pattern. So those are more of the internal practicing techniques that I love to bring in with my clients. And all three of them have had such a big impact on my life as well.
Wow. And I will include that in the show notes. Existential Kink. Is that the
yes.
name of the book?
Yep.
Scarlett, how did these practices impact you? Often we end up teaching what we've learned or need to continue to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Every single one of these practices have been a huge part of me and my journey and my transformation. Although I have always had a relatively good relationship with money on paper of, you know, saving and everything that I talked about earlier, my relationship with money was still not an abundant one. You know, I was still had a lot of scarcity showing up in my life, a lot of lack, a lot of fear. And that honestly was the thing that was motivating a lot of my actions and a lot of how I was living my life. Now, you take that and you put a business on top of it, it's very challenging to run a business from a place of not enoughness, not good enoughness, not worthy, lack, scarcity, desperate for money, and showing up on your sales calls and trying to ask people
right.
to pay you. Right. So it's been a necessary part of my own growth for my own fulfillment to get to live a life that I want to live without money holding me back from doing that and bravely choosing the path that I've chosen every single day, even though money might be yelling at me from the corner and telling me to get a 9-to-5 job, right? So being able to pursue my own life, being able to get to say yes to all the things I've gotten to say yes to, even if it was going against the grain. And then for the sake of growing my business, changing my relationship with money, that way I could really show up and offer my services to the world without these subconscious money beliefs and fears and worthiness stories holding me back from really showing up and giving this work to the world.
Thank you. I love that answer. As we're coming to the end of our conversation, Scarlett, I do always like to ask, and you've used the word success numerous times in our conversations, how has your definition of success shifted with this work you've done and continue to do, and perhaps even financial success?
This is such a great question, and it's an important one. So for me, success used to be based on achievement. Some sort of number has always been attached to it, whether it was getting an A in school, getting 100 on a test, having a high GPA, having a certain amount of money in the bank account, in the savings account, and watching that number grow, the amount I was getting paid, right? So having some sort of numeric achievement. But what I recognized was that there was never a finish line to that. Even when I would get the good grades, there was always another test, or there was always the next level of schooling. And then even when I finished college, there was get the good job, and then there's get the raise, and then there's get the next raise and acquire more money. So I was found myself on this hamster wheel of never ever arriving at success because it was never enough. Whereas now my definition of success is really rooted in the kind of life that I want to live and what is important to me. And choosing to live in alignment with my values and live a fulfilling life right now, today. And that's something that I teach my clients, is that you can live your vision today, no matter how much money you have. And then you can continue to grow into that vision as you learn to expand your capacity to bring in more and more money. So for me, success is choosing every single day to live my best life, to be fulfilled, to do what is most in alignment for me and live my vision right now.
Very, very well said, and not always that easy to do. I mean, what comes up for me, several things I've come to notice in myself as an entrepreneur with a business, how much I equate busyness with worthiness. Now that I notice that, I can start to question it. And questioning it still doesn't mean that I've succeeded in changing it entirely. Sometimes I might say to myself, oh, it's a dreary day, just curl up with a book and read. And at this point, I would never, see, I'm about to say, I would never allow myself to do it, which is interesting. And also, as you said about success always was measured, that's one of the traps, if you will, of money, because perhaps we want ease, or perhaps we want love, or perhaps we want connection. But those are hard. There's no metrics to measure that by. So we default to measuring it by money, or grades, or other things that are measurable. And I, again, applaud you for waking up at a relatively young age and saying, ah, but that's not working for me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I love exactly what you said, because it comes down to, how are we choosing to use our money to create that life now? Not based on an amount of more, but based on, what do I actually need to live that fulfilling life? Because there is a number attached to that, and it might not be a billionaire.
Yes, yes. So very, very true. And why it's important to find someone to work with, a coach or other professional, can help to help you define that number. So if someone's listening to this and says, I really want to reach out to Scarlett and work on my mindset, actually both answer how they would get in touch with you. And of course, your information will be in the show notes, but also, is there something else you'd like them to know about you and your work?
Absolutely. So you can reach out to me in one of two ways. One is, you can connect with me on Instagram, where I am very active. My handle is @thebizhippie. And you can feel free to shoot me a DM, and I would love to continue the conversation there. If you've heard some of what I've said and you know that you want to take the conversation further, I would recommend that you book a free 30-minute abundance activation session with me, where we're going to deep dive into your current relationship with money, where you want to go, and the simplest path for you to get there. And that's a free gift that I love to offer to anybody that listens to any of my podcast episodes. So you can sign up for that at thebizhippie.com/activate.
Great. I will be sure to put that in the show notes. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you, Scarlett. I can tell that you're providing a gift to the people that you're working with.
Thank you so much today, Laura. This was an amazing episode, and it was so great to talk with you. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Making Change with Your Money. Certified financial planner Laura Rotter specializes in helping people just like you organize, clarify, and invest their money in order to support a life of purpose and meaning. Go to www.trueabundanceadvisors.com/workbook for a free resource to help you on your journey. Disclaimer, please remember that the information shared by this podcast does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. It's for information purposes only. You should seek appropriate professional advice for your specific information.